I more than anyone know about Toronto.
Carl Robinson.
Inside the club, and they've got a great ownership. The resources are very, very strong as well. They got the best player in the league from last year, a fantastic player, and rightfully so. And they've just built, extended their stadium, so that shows the support that they have. Looking forward to the game, looking forward to going back.
Match preview versus Vancouver Whitecaps FC.
Thank you, big voice guy. I am Dan Riccio. It is TFC pitch side as we get you set for the Reds and Vancouver here in Toronto at BMO Field, a place where the Whitecaps have never, ever, 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 ever won. It is May 12, 2016, so you know it as the day Danny Diccio scored his first ever goal for TFC, and it was obviously the club's first ever goal, and it went on to be the club's first ever win. So this being TFC's 10th season, they will have a heritage series. We've talked about it a bit on the show, and this is the first match where something is actually going to happen, and it will be Danny Diccio cards given out to the first 15,000 fans at BMO Field. An appearance and autograph signing will also be available. And we saw Danny at TFC 2 this week. He stepped in to chat with the broadcast about the match and, of course, the academy where he still works, along with us here at Sportsnet. So a couple of things before we actually get into the match preview. And I was at TFC 2's 1-0 win over the Richmond Kickers yesterday in Vaughan up at the Ontario Soccer Center. Producer Emil Delich was also there. We got a good kick out of it. It was a fun game to watch. There was kids on hand. A bunch of different schools were sent to watch the game. It was an 11:30 a.m. start. And, you know, what I couldn't get was, like, there was 2 or 3 minutes left in the game and all the kids were leaving. Like, what? The bus can't wait 2 minutes? Really? In any case, that kind of irked me a little bit. But otherwise, it was nice to see them all there. They had thundersticks, and kids with thundersticks can make some noise. But it was also good because TFC got the win, and they needed that. They had been on a bit of a bad run, had the baby Reds, and weren't scoring much, but Sal Bernal changed that with a second-half goal. It was a nice one, well taken. Couple of things that I really took away from the game, and one is Nick Haglund was really good. He's still got all the athleticism in the world. Still got those crazy hops. He's seeming to learn the game a little bit better and think the game a little bit better. Now, it's only one real game that I saw, and yeah, it was a USL game, but I've always been of the opinion that Nick Haglund has a future here in MLS because of his athleticism and because of what he can do and how he can use that. It's just that TFC's depth chart in defense right now, especially center defense, is kind of clouded. And Greg Vanney has preferred to go with his more experienced guys. And it's pretty clear that Drew Moore, Damien Perkey are the first choice guys. And when they can't go, it's going to be Josh Williams. After that, I think Haglund is next on the chart. Probably Clément Simonin is on the chart there as well. He's just coming back from a big long-term knee injury. TFC have a plethora of defenders that can do a job in MLS. Now, Haglund and Simonin, yeah, they're still young and they're still learning, but I think they can be, and they certainly do, have some trade value if TFC want to go that route. Now, of course, the trade market has recently just been closed, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I was really impressed with Haglund, and he's saying all the right things. He's obviously not too happy about playing in the USL, but he's doing what it takes to get back in the MLS, and he's taking it the right way. So we wish Nick Haglund all the best, and we want to see him back up with the big club soon. The other big takeaway is Jordan Hamilton, and it's not a good story right now with Jordan Hamilton. He's really fallen off the TFC depth chart. I think when he burst onto the scene and he signed that senior club contract coming out of the academy, there were a lot of high hopes for him. And right now, he has slowly fallen down the TFC depth chart, and he does not seem, to me at least, to be held in high regard by the club at the moment. He has stagnated in his development, and to be quite honest, and you heard Greg Vanney on our show Monday when he was talking about replacements that could come if Josie and Sebastian Giovinco are both off on international duty. We know Josie for sure. Don't know for sure yet about Seba, but he didn't mention Jordan Hamilton as a guy that could possibly fill in those roles. And that's just kind of a sign of where Jordan has gone. And he doesn't stand out at the USL level. Like, if anything, Raheem Edwards is probably the guy that you would call up ahead of him. So there is a lot going on there with Jordan Hamilton right now. We hope he regains whatever it is that he lost, but he has certainly stagnated for the time being. Dan Riccio, this is TFC Pitchside Match Preview. Want to move it along here, but congrats to the Young Reds who got the 1-0 win. Also saw Bill Manning there, president of the club, and good to see him getting out and watching the Young Reds and see how they are progressing. But on that trade front, and it was interesting last night. MLS Twitter was kind of a buzz a little bit. Obviously, we talked about the Kai Kamara stuff on Monday and his whole tirade. And as the story developed over the course of the week, Kamara was handed a one-game suspension by the Columbus Crew, basically by their coach, Greg Berhalter, for, I don't know, speaking his mind.
What are the positives that you do take away from this match?
Nothing. We scored a lot of goals, but there was no team play, you know. Completely explain, you know, the way me and Federico behave on the penalty kick. A team that stays together will win games. A team that doesn't is not going to win games. And that's horrible. We're home. We go up that much, and to give up that many goals is horrible.
So then how do you get back on track? How do you get that momentum going to next week?
I actually don't know. I just hope the coach has a way for us to, you know, to move forward, but I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Kai.
That was his last post-game interview with the Columbus Crew, and he certainly, you know, he's a fun follow on Twitter. Like, he was tweeting about stuff all night long. First, the rumors popped up that he was going to the Vancouver Whitecaps in exchange for Octavio Rivero. That didn't come about. It just kind of went off to the wayside, never really got done. And then we find out that he was eventually traded to the New England Revolution this morning. And it's a deal that I guess kind of makes sense for both sides, because Columbus just wanted to get rid of Kai Kamara. But it, you know, if you're a Columbus Crew fan today, I don't see how you're happy about this. Like, you lose the best player on your roster in terms of attacking talent, a guy who finished tied with Sebastian Giovinco for goals last season, tied the record for most goals in a season without scoring a penalty. He was phenomenal last year, and you lose that guy and don't really replace him with anything immediate. Yeah, you get a lot of general allocation money and targeted allocation money, and you get an international roster slot, and you could probably do something with those things to better the roster in some way. But, I mean, in immediate fashion, I don't see how that helps too much. For New England, they have a crap ton of strikers now, and if the trade window was still open, you know, they might be a good partner with TFC, who have a lot of extra center backs and could use an experienced forward. But with the trade deadline and trade window now closed, that's obviously not going to happen. So we'll follow this Kai Kamara stuff. He was pretty funny last night. Yesterday, I think he tweeted, all right, everybody, relax. It's going to be okay. Stay calm. And then today, when the trade was made official, I think he basically just said, all right, now you can panic because I'm leaving. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what Kai Kamara said. So we'll see how he does in New England. We'll see if he's not a cancer to the dressing room. At the same time that I'm kind of on camera's side here, he's got a bit of a reputation, right? I mean, he's played with almost every team in MLS. He played for San Jose, he played for Columbus twice, Houston, Sporting KC, and obviously had some time in the English Premier League or in England with Norwich City and Middlesbrough, but it didn't really work out. So we'll see where Kamara goes. He is 31 years old, so he's not really a young pup anymore. The running joke, I guess, is, well, if Federico Higuain didn't want Kamara around anymore, he better be able to bring his brother over from Napoli, who's trying to set the Serie A goal-scoring record. I don't don't think that's going to happen, Columbus fans, unfortunately. So last night, Vancouver was in action, and funnily enough, Octavio Rivero did not play with an undisclosed injury. Maybe that was because of the trade talks going on with Columbus, but regardless, the Caps were able to come away with a win, and it was all thanks to Blas Perez.
Late minutes here in Vancouver. Morales, the switch is on. But it's recaptured by Colin Fernandez. 1v3, and it's Vancouver emerging with it out of the dust. Bolaños. Hurtado inching closer. Biked. Back of the goal. It's Perez.
Here's the little combination play where Hurtado comes in, plays a square pass, the ball goes up in the air, and it's just really an incredible goal.
Thank you, finally. Like, I'm waiting for you guys. Who's calling this game? It's a freaking bicycle kick. I don't care if it's not the home team that scored it. It was a bicycle kick. In the late stages of the match, like, you would never, ever, ever realize that that was a bicycle kick goal from Blas Perez to win the game for Vancouver from that call. Brilliant goal. I don't care if he's 75 years old. Blas Perez, huge for the Caps last night, scores both of their goals, including that bicycle kick. And he is, what is he actually, 35? Okay. So I over-exaggerated a little bit, but huge for Vancouver. They now have 17 points through 12 games, three more than TFC, though the Reds have played three fewer games. As for TFC, they're obviously coming off a big home opening win. They sit second in the East on 14 points, 4-3-2 record overall. Reds have won three of their last four and are allowing 0.78 goals per game, which is pretty good. And as Kurt Larson wrote earlier this week, it would be on pace to best the MLS record in a 34-game season. TFC, though, they have not won this season when allowing a goal, so maybe there's a bit of a key for them to keep this run going. Vancouver, in terms of injuries, last night it was a very scary scene. Masato Kudo collided with Chicago goalkeeper Matt Lampson. And it was horrifying watching it. It was horrifying seeing the replays. And I don't condone websites actually putting it, and I know our own website has put it up there, but I don't condone, you know, you seeking out to see it. It's a scary, scary moment. It's actually been taken down now, apparently, I think, from our website. So that is a bonus. No, it's actually still there. In any case, I shouldn't be promoting it, that it's up there. It was a scary moment, and Kudo was knocked out cold on impact. He bit his lip and bit his tongue on impact, so there was blood spewing out of his mouth. But we have gotten an update on Kudo this morning. He suffered a fractured jaw. He's going to have surgery. Caps say there is no timeline for his return, but we obviously wish him all the best and a speedy and full recovery from this injury. So all the best to Masato Kudo. Octavio Rivero, I mentioned it. He was held out of yesterday's match. MLSsoccer.com is calling it an undisclosed injury, but I'm sure it had something to do with the Kai Kamara trade. As for TFC's injuries, Marky Delgado, he's got the hamstring pulled up lame last week. And he's being called questionable. Should be available next week, though, at the very latest, while Benoit Cherou remains out. And I mentioned earlier, Clément Simonin, he is back training with the club. You can look for him to get some reps with TFC2 in the near future, just to get some game fitness back, which has kind of been the track record with Vanny and company lately. Last season with these two clubs, I believe you all remember it. Yeah, it was a win. 3-1, TFC beat Vancouver in the season opener of 2015. A brace from Josie Altidore and another from Robbie Finley. Sees TFC get the comeback win after Octavio Rivero scored the opener for the Caps in the 19th minute. Remember back to that game. TFC were playing a very high line, and Vancouver's speedy players kept getting in behind and kept causing TFC all kinds of problems. Vanny made some halftime adjustments, and it worked out really, really well. And Altidore had the brace, obviously scored the penalty at the end. And I can't remember if it was on his first goal or his second goal, but as he was celebrating, there's a great picture of him, of a Vancouver fan getting in his face and giving, flipping him the bird. And it's really one of the most memorable photos that I remember in TFC history, because it was such a big moment. And then they went on to lose their next four games. But as far as that game goes, that was a big moment for the Reds last year. History between the two. The Whitecaps have never won at BMO Field, not in Canadian Championship play and not in MLS play. Their last win over the Reds came in 2014 in the Voyageurs Cup, though it wasn't a real win. They won it on penalties after the two finished tied at one. So Caps don't have much success over TFC overall, especially at BMO Field. We'll see if that changes this weekend. Now it's time to remember when. And since this is Danny Diccio Day coming up at BMO Field on Saturday, he did score the first goal in TFC history May 12, 2007. After playing the first four games in MLS goalless, Diccio finally got one for the Reds and is now forever commemorated in the 24th minute by home fans with this song. And we thank the Red Patch Boys for posting this on their SoundCloud.
Oh, Danny Diccio. 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 Danny Diccio.
So if you're new to TFC, I guess this is what you do in the 24th minute. You sing this song. And I'd really like to hear from the Red Patch Boys. Like, did you guys get a studio or something? Like, how did you get this studio quality chant of these? And there's more of them. And maybe we'll start using more of them on the show because we really kind of enjoy them. Okay, producer Bozy says that's debatable. As for the Diccio goal, I just want to say this before we play the clip of the Diccio goal. For Toronto FC, if anybody's listening from the club, it might be in your best interest to have a clean version of the goal, have full highlights of the team's first ever win without music in the background. We could not find it anywhere on the internet. But regardless, it would be nice to have easy access to that. We did not, but this is still from TFC's website, and it's the best we could do.
Ball forward again. The ball on their feet. It's covered away from Diccio. And finally, remember the name. Remember the date. The fans have gone wild because this is the very first goal ever scored by Toronto FC in Major League Soccer. Number 9, 6'3".
Well, it seems a long, long time ago, many, many years ago, but some fond memories. You know, it was a very special day for everyone involved within the club, special for myself scoring the first goal, but for us as a team as well to get our first ever goal, our first ever win that day as well on a momentous day where the sun was shining, seat cushions were coming down from everywhere, got hit by at least 100 of them, but it was a really, really special day that I'll take with me forever and ever.
And TFC fans will take with them forever and ever. And Danny Diccio, a legend of the club for that. And as Kurt Larson wrote today in the Toronto Sun, it was very close to Danny Diccio never being a TFC player. He was that close to being a part of the Chicago Fire, but not having a green card made all of that change. Time for DJ Khaled.
Major key alert.
Thank you, Mr. DJ Khaled. Three keys to TFC getting a result over the Whitecaps on Saturday. And first up, Attack, attack, attack! The Whitecaps are rated among the worst in the league defensively, at least according to WhoScored.com. TFC showed last week they can be forward in attack, still have enough numbers back to defend. Go at this shaky Whitecaps defense, man. They've given up 11 goals on the road in 5 games so far this year, and they're just 1-4 so far on the year away from BC Place. So number two is be aware of what you're doing around the area. This is mostly for TFC defenders. I'm not going to say the Whitecaps are a bunch of divers, but I'm kind of going to say that. They've scored more penalties than any other team in MLS so far this year with 4. I'll put it this way. They make the most of their opportunities in and around the area. Is that nicer for you? TFC needs to take extra care when defending this weekend to not put themselves in precarious positions. It's key to the game. That's what the Whitecaps like to do on the road. Let Giovinco do his work. The Italian is desperate to beat Dwayne De Rosario's club record for goals. He needs just one more to do it, at least in MLS play. And this is the perfect opportunity for that. If Seba can get it to one-on-ones with Canadian right back Fraser Aird, he should have plenty of success. Aird has not looked all that comfortable so far this year, though we do wish him all the best because he is Canadian. I think Seba kind of goes off. He was pretty upset last week that he didn't get a goal against FC Dallas, and we're going to see Seba go off pretty soon. There's your 3 keys to the match for TFC. Here's a public service announcement for yourselves.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Please be advised that the Gardner Expressway will be shut down from Carlaw Avenue to Highway 427 this weekend for annual maintenance. The full closure will begin at 11 p.m. on Friday and remain in effect until 5 a.m. on Monday. So it's already difficult enough to get to TFC games. This is going to make it a pain in the ass over the weekend. Like a huge pain in the butt. There's no other way around that. This is like the exhibition loop is closed until August too. So it's going to be a nightmare getting down to Liberty Village. Please, they say 7:30 kickoff. It'll probably be a little bit later than that. But please do get down to BMO Field early and try to get down there earlier because it's probably going to take you a while to get into the stadium. One quick thing as well. We want to congratulate Canadian soccer president Victor Montagliani. He today was announced as the president of CONCACAF and deserve it. He's done quite the job with the CSA over the last number of years. Obviously, setting up the Canadian Premier League is something that's going to come about in the next year or so. That's big for Canadian soccer. Montagliani has done a very good job, brought the Women's World Cup here. I believe he still plans, or it was part of his plan, to get the 2026 World Cup here. So we'll see how that works out. We are learning just now, actually, as we record this, that Stephen Reed will become the next president of the CSA sometime within the next year. Montagliani has 1 year to step down as the CSA boss now that he is president of CONCACAF. As for the weather on Saturday, is set to be 9 degrees, sunny, down by the lake, so it should be chance of rain, 2% chance of rain. There's always a chance. There's always a chance. The other MLS midweek results, Colorado 1-0 over Sporting KC. They're still perfect at home, 6-0. Rapids tops with 23 points on the year. Union and Galaxy finished to a 2-2 draw. Unbeaten in 8 are the Galaxy, but they've got to be upset with giving up a lead in Philly. FC Dallas, 2-1 winners over Portland. Couple of goals from defenders gets D back in the win column after 3 straight losses. Mauro Diaz, my boy, he had an assist. Quakes, they got a 3-1 win over Houston. Alberto Quintero with a couple of goals and an assist. And, I just took him off my fantasy team. Not a good choice. Not a good choice. Emil Delic still dead last in the TFC Pitchside MLS Fantasy Pool. That'll do it for us. Stick a fork in us. We're done. We'll let you go out with the sweet, sultry tones of the Vancouver boys themselves. That is the Rascals.
In New York, they want me, and I'm gonna be there. Take the world on, do or die. As the fly down low, lyrical Van Gogh. Stay international with the ill adios. Money making flows, pesos from Mexico to European ends and yens from Tokyo. I'm in for the years that we rock skid row in a trash bungalow, trying to juggle our flow. But you know how the struggle go. Life moves slow, yo. Plus it's extra hard when you got no dough. But we strive on, mentality stay strong. Dropping bombs on the world from Northwest Saigon, deep in the Babylon. DEFCON 1, watch them run. The heart is wicked and judgment soon come.